Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends. Today, we're going to be sharing some stories from viewers just like yourself. These stories are based around cabins in the woods, and they're definitely going to be creepy. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a cabin in the woods story or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. Recently, as many of you may know, I've been running a giveaway, giving away five $50 Amazon gift cards. Today will be the last video with that giveaway. The last winner was Suresh Death. Thank you so much, Suresh, for supporting these videos, and congratulations. All you have to do to enter this giveaway is 1. Subscribe to my second channel. You can find the link to do so in the top of the description. 2. Like this video and comment down below your favorite scary movie of all time. I can check to see who has subscribed and who hasn't, so be sure you do that. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy stories sent in by viewers just like you. My parents bought this property in 1975, and I bought it from them in 1990. Until about 6 years ago, I did nothing with the place and the old structure just sat there and deteriorated. Between the times the folks bought it and I left for the army, there were several incidents of bad feelings, cold spots, and startled animals. Over the years, I visited the old shanty house and my 6 acres of woods. It was built in 1933 and had a kitchen and bath added in 1955. There was a screened front porch. Not sure when it was built, but it was attached to the original structure. On most visits, I never made it past the front door. I would be hit with a bone-chilling coldness and sense of dread. The place was small, so I sometimes made it as far as the entrance between the living room and the dining room, just a frame space. I'd invariably hit a wall at that point, and could never seem to go further. There was a strong presence that shouted in my mind to get out. I would go out on the property for a while, then enter through the back door, and the problems seemed to dissipate, except in the back bedroom. It had an entry to the attic, not a real attic, just a space between the very solid wooden ceiling and the very fragile tin roof. There was no insulation. That room almost always caused a foreboding feeling. I'd been stung by a red wasp in that room, and it caused stomach problems for anyone who slept in it. I couldn't bring myself to stick my head up through the opening to the attic. The foreboding feeling was simply too strong. Back in 1980, I stayed there with some of my high school buddies for a few days. It was one of our last Christmas breaks in high school. On the second early morning, I awoke to shouts from the kitchen. My friend Clifton had overloaded the breaker while he took his turn making breakfast. I told him to unplug something. So he did, and I flipped the breaker. The other boy, his older brother, had also been sleeping on an old couch near the wood stove in the dining room. He was awake and stared, pale-faced at one of the walls. When I asked him what was wrong, he pointed to a clock and framed picture that hung on the wall. The night before, it had been moved to the floor and to the other side of the room by itself somehow. You'd have to know him. He was no prankster. and he'd have a hard time looking that drained just for a joke. In September 2015, when I had the area cleared, they tore down the old garage and storage buildings, but they wouldn't tear down the house. The contractor was vague, but they just wouldn't do it. The general excuse was that the tiles on the outside of the house could be asbestos. They were not, but they were just ugly. I tore it down over the next few years with sledgehammers and crowbars. I'd come up on the weekend for a few hours and, you know, it took a while. I destroyed the hearth and chimney. I destroyed all the entrances and burned everything piece metal. These things abated for a while. There was always a stench to the place. Moldy and decayed, very strong, but only while I was on the property. I recently burned the last remnants of the sheetrock that had crumbled loose during the deconstruction. This was in November of 2019. The smell returned then, though the wood from the structure was long gone and burned. I have had my new cabin for 2.5 years now. I have lived in it full time since April 2019. During all the preparation work and deconstruction of the old, crappy one, I've suffered an unusual number of small injuries, especially to my lower legs. I cracked my left tibia. It took more than 2 months to heal. I took a nasty spill from the roof. It rested on the floor of the structure by then, but was still tall. I hurt my knee and aggravated a lower back injury. This was about a year ago. It was not a simple fall. I was balanced and standing still. It almost felt like I was pushed. I've fallen down on my steps a few times and I've been pushed away from entering my cabin. Each time at the foot of the stairs. Friday, January 10th, 2020. I awakened from a fitful sleep to a call of nature. The storms that were forecast had arrived and I could hear the winds whipping around my little cabin. When I laid back in bed, I picked up my phone to check the weather news. I noticed that the clock on the screen read 0000. About to be January 11th. In the past several months, I have happened to look at the phone clock at the exact time more often than can be accounted for by coincidence. That's when the cyclonic blast of what we'd been alerted about struck. The entire cabin shook and the telltale freight train sounds of a tornado sounded. It must have broken up even as it formed or passed back up into the clouds because it only lasted for about a half a minute. A very long half a minute, I might add. I got up and checked around as much as possible. The wind was still very strong and there was still a thunderstorm raging, but all appeared to be in order. When I looked out to check on my truck, there was a continuous flash of lightning. I almost didn't look out the window that faces the woods. I've read or listened to way too many stories about faces that would certainly appear and the murderous fiends that would burst through and rip me to shreds. However, I looked and saw simply nature being nature. It was magnificent. There were so many bolts in one spot, I didn't even know that was possible. Followed by rain and normal wind gusts. Then, finally, I was able to sleep. On Monday, I got up and goofed off for a while, then went for a walk. I came back and showered at about 14:30, then walked into the kitchen and noticed the clock. It was 16:41. I'd lost 2 hours. I wasn't in the shower that long, no more than several minutes, long enough to sing The Leaving of Liverpool. This has never happened previously. I don't know what's going on here. I've always had an excellent sense of time. I know this is a bit of a ramble and a jumble of odd incidents, but I feel this is some sort of connection between everything, like it's a boggle or land white, or whatever the indigenous folks would have called it. Unfortunately, I'm retired, nowhere else to go, and the only tribe around the area is definitely long gone. No idea what tribe may have been here in the old days, or if this is even related to any sort of native... I don't know. I'm just rambling at this point. If I could find out any information, it would be amazing. And if anybody listening to this show has any sort of information, please comment down below. This story takes place back when I was 13. Every year at the beginning of the summer, I would go to a Boy Scout camp. That week, I had been talking and trying to get my merit badge for lifesaving. It's a merit badge at the waterfront that focuses on safety in the water, ways to rescue someone who could drown, etc. There was a scout who was not in my troop who we'll call JT. I don't remember how old he was, but he was probably around 14 or 15. He was not very athletic, but looked physically large due to how fat he was. Other than being an overall pain, he seemed to target me in particular. He often made fun of my size. I was small for my age and very skinny, and would go out of his way to demonstrate his athletic prowess over me. Granted, I was a weakling, but feeling proud of your victory over the smallest, skinniest guy in the merit badge class was a low blow. Also, he would often say that I looked like a girl. I hadn't hit puberty yet, and my face was a bit feminine, so the comments weren't completely out of the blue, but rude nonetheless. But he wasn't just rude, he was creepy. I would catch him staring at me from time to time, and he would always seem to rush to get next to me. After 5 days of this, I had become very scared of JT. Being a shy, antisocial person, I'm kind of a person to simply deal about a situation like this instead of telling the authorities. So my problems with him stayed under wraps. Around the camp, there were several outdoor shower houses. Essentially, a wooden rectangle upon a concrete floor with a wall separating the changing room and the shower room. The main shower room had about 8 shower heads with no stall or barrier to separate you from anyone else showering. I'm not sure if we were supposed to do this, but everybody in my troop and most people from other troops just wore swimming trunks when we showered. It was fine, as long as we were, you know, washing down there at some point. So, it's the morning of the last day of camp, and I am taking a shower by myself. As I said, I'm an antisocial kid, so I like to take my showers alone, which was actually against the rules. In walks JT. I don't say anything and try to pretend I don't see him, though I am feeling nervous. I steal a glance at him to find that he is staring at me. As I continue to ignore him, I feel his eyes on me. I'm feeling terrified, but I push through and decide to look him in the eyes. He's still staring at me, now completely naked. His face was blank and almost emotionless. His eyes were slightly widened and his nose flared. I could tell he was breathing heavily. I pack up my soap, still staring at him, and start towards the doorway to the changing room. To my horror, he also heads to the doorway at a faster speed, hoping to intercept me. Suddenly, we hear the door to the changing room creak open and slam shut, along with the voices of a group of people entering the shower house. JT's face falls and he stops in his tracks. I continue to move and throw my shirt and shoes on, as fast as I can, and leave without looking back. I try not to think of what would have happened if those guys hadn't come into the shower house at that time. I don't have many experiences like this one, so it really sticks out in my mind. I never saw JT again after that, and I hope it stays that way. P.S. I made sure I wasn't in the same cabin as him. About 12 years ago, I was home for a weekend and my family decided to go to our cabin. This was an A-frame style house, about 100 feet from a lake in the middle of the woods. Although we had neighbors, none of them usually visited on non-holidays. And this wasn't an exception. I would always sleep on the couch so my sisters and parents would get a bed. The things that always freaked me out was that the couch was right next to the opening of the A-frame, which was glass from floor to ceiling and about 25 feet high. Not only that, but right outside was a second-story deck which had stairs up to it and a sliding glass door to get in. At the time, we had 3 dogs who would go ape if anyone was on the deck. We normally had possums or raccoons scavenging up there, so it wasn't uncommon to wake up in the middle of the night to them barking into the darkness of the sliding glass door that was about a foot from me. If you're wondering, it's terrifying, honestly. One of the nights, things got strange, though. I'm usually up fairly late, so it must have been around 2 a.m., and I'd finally started to try to wind down. Before I shut my eyes, something comes into view that looks like a light source at around person level on our deck, close to the edge where the stairs come up. I freaked the heck out, but lay still. It looked like a person holding on to something that was the color of a glow stick, but it was round. I slowly reached up to grab my glasses so I could take action if needed. My phone is charging right by the glass door leading outside, and if I pulled it off the charger, it would light up, so I can't grab it. The light source outside is about 10 feet away from me, and I still can't really tell what it is. However, it's still glowing green and at person height. I'm fairly knowledgeable on wildlife, and instantly try to justify it about something large, maybe like a large lightning bug or something. The problem is, it's about the size of a baseball from the angle I'm at, and it's not blinking at all. Lightning bugs can have a defect that makes them light up without blinking, but it's rare, and it wouldn't be that size. So it could only be a person snooping outside, potentially trying to break in, or maybe even worse. What bothered me was the dogs were not going ballistic like they normally would. There's three of them, so one would always notice if anything was amiss and alert the others. Here is where it gets even more unexplainable. The light source gets closer and closer, but as it's getting closer, it's not the size of a baseball like I originally thought, but the size of a large grapefruit or bigger. It gets extremely close to the window, about an inch or two. Now, I still get chills as I type this because my mind wanted to picture a person putting their face up to the window, with the green light illuminating it. But it never happened. Instead, this grapefruit-sized glowing green orb starts hovering over and slowly begins moving up against the glass, towards the top of the A-frame. I watched this thing float steadily up until it goes out of view. The whole way up, it didn't touch the window, the way an insect normally would, which really confused me. This entire interaction was completely silent. My main theories are that it was either a type of large, unknown, bioluminescent insect that only is above ground every number of years or so, some weird lightning bug king anomaly that has never been documented before, similar to a rat king, potentially ball lightning, or maybe something I haven't been able to find via research. I will also note that the windows were not foggy, and I do not, nor have I ever had night terrors or done any hallucinogens or drugs that would cause visual manifestations like this. I was completely lucid during this time. I think about this story quite a bit, and finally decided to actually put it into writing to see if anyone else has had any similar experiences. Thank you, Swamp Dweller, for sharing my story. I'll try to keep this as short as possible. So, me and a couple of my friends were staying at my family's cabin for a week in the summer of last year, and a lot of weird stuff happened throughout the whole week. I'll try to explain everything. The last day we were there is the creepiest, most unexplainable part. One of the first days after my parents left, one of my friends went out for a little run late at night. After about 5 minutes, he comes sprinting back to the cabin and tells us he saw a black figure in the woods beside him. We all thought it was weird, but we didn't think much of it after. The day after, nothing really happened except for when we went to the jacuzzi. This was around 1 to 3 a.m. We started talking about the scariest dreams we have ever had, and so we all told each other. But then, one of my friends began telling the rest of us that when he was younger, he used to not only dream, but also see this tall black figure in his room at night. And this was a serious thing, because he started getting really emotional about it and started crying as he was telling us. I swear to God, I heard footsteps in the woods below us. I decided not to tell the rest about it though, because I didn't want them to freak out. We were all pretty spooked at this point. The last day, we didn't have anything planned, so we just hung out in our cabin. When it started getting late at around 1 to 2 a.m., one of my friends told us that his towel kept falling off the hook. This happened probably around 3 times. When he hung it up the last time, I saw him hanging it up properly. It can't fall by itself, but when we were going to check it just in case, it had somehow fallen off again, and also his blanket, which was in his bed the last time we checked, was now spread out on the floor. Cabinets in the bathroom also kept opening by themselves. Around 4 a.m., we all decided that we probably should get some sleep, and so we did. Because we were all scared crapless, two of my friends stayed in my room for the night. Just as I was going to sleep, my friend, who was on the floor, asked if I heard rustling noises coming from the kitchen and living room. I said no. And so the three of us slowly walk out through the hallway into the living room. And just as I enter and turn on my phone's flashlight, I felt my stomach drop more than I ever had done before. The couch and the chair cushions had been flipped upright like they were standing vertically, and the pelts of the chairs had been thrown into the floor. Since we were so freaked out, we got everyone out of the cabin, and for some dumb reason we called the cops. Of course, they couldn't do anything. Probably thought we were just a bunch of kids on some strong drugs or something. The clock was about 5 a.m. At this point, we didn't get any sleep, and just decided to leave. As I'm reading this, this doesn't sound that scary. But since I have never experienced something paranormal before, it's probably the scariest thing that has ever happened to me. Thank you, Swamp, for giving me a platform to share this story. And anybody in the chat, I'd love to hear your stories as well. When I was about 16 years old, I lived in a little town called York Haven. My mom was an alcoholic and my dad had been in prison for about 2 years as of then for child abuse. Life was hard to deal with. I had three younger siblings I practically raised and a crazy mom who partied like no tomorrow with every man in town. My friend Christy and I would go on adventures often. We would ride our bikes to the river, venture down the catwalk, walk around the power plant to Three Mile Island. We once found a quarry that resembled the Bahamas, with tropical fish and colored coral, right in York Haven, Pennsylvania. But that's another story for another place. Anyway, one day we decided to walk the railroad tracks along the river that my mom's new boyfriend's mother's cabin was on. We had some Mike's Hard Lemonade stashed away in this cabin as well, so we walked for about a half mile when we noticed a dirt bike off in the grass, then a shirtless man, chest high in the river. He started to get up as we were walking by fastly, and then jumped out of the water naked. We ran into the woods on the left side of the tracks and were trying to get through the thorns and trees when I heard his dirt bike. He was following along the tracks, still naked, weaving in and out when he could get close enough. My friend starts having a panic attack and is kneeling on the ground hyperventilating as I'm pulling on her and practically dragging her to her feet. We ran and ran and ran until I didn't hear the bike, until we somehow ended up at the cabin we intended to go to in the first place. We walked the main road home, and we never took those tracks again. First of all, let's preface this by saying this was in the very early 90s, and as we all know, it was a very different world those days, and I was pretty naive for a kid. Also, I had kind of a messed up childhood, so this was not the worst thing to happen by far, and therefore, I pretty much brushed it off. When I was maybe 11 or 12 years old, I would visit the boys' club a lot, which was pretty big back then, and my parents thought that sending me to boys' club camp for the summer only made sense. The camp was not an overnight type deal, but featured all of the normal things you would expect, like a lake, arts and crafts area, crappy school-style lunches, and other stuff. I did the normal camp things like found a girlfriend and getting into trouble. The camp was run by counselors, which I can only assume were in their 20s to 30s. When you're 12, everyone around you honestly seems old. And as you would expect, they would come up with some very interesting, but albeit unique, punishments for kids, like being forced to carry a huge wooden totem pole in circles in a hot field for some time. Luckily, I never actually had this punishment, but I remember one of the older kids doing it. Or they would just straight up punch you in your chest, knocking the wind out of you, which I did experience. One of the counselors that I had this experience with was named TJ, and he was a very large, well-built guy in his 20s. I'd have to guess probably early to mid-20s. One day, I did something wrong and got sent to the lunch area for essentially detention. The area was actually a large concrete floor with a wooden roof attached to the cabin, and combined to a kitchen. It was basically a school lunch setup where you would come, pick up your food, choose chocolate milk or orange juice, and get served a crappy turkey sandwich, a pack of mayo, and one of those amazing brownies. When I got there, I noticed there were about 4 or 5 kids already sitting at benches, and TJ is in the front of everyone by the lunch serving area pacing and saying something. I sit down and don't really remember what happened until things started to get really, I guess, weird. TJ suddenly pulled out a knife and got an apple out. He started skinning and stabbing it and saying stuff like, "This is what I'll do to you if you get in trouble again," and other things of that nature, surely trying to scare us or something. At this time, I honestly did not feel scared in any way due to my tendency to completely shut down when things got out of hand. But I did remember feeling very creeped out and that he was trying very hard to be threatening. The younger kids, especially a little girl who was maybe 8 or so, were freaking out and crying. The next thing I remember is him telling her to follow him into the kitchen, and then I heard lots of screaming and crying coming from the back of the kitchen. After a while, he came back with her, and her face was streamed with tears. I remember it vividly. He then looked at me and another boy, and told us to follow him as he escorted us to a huge walk-in refrigerator and brought us inside. He said, "I want you both to start screaming and acting like I'm killing you in here. If you don't make the other kids scared, I'll kill you for real." We did as he asked, and when he closed the door, we started screaming and wailing. At this point, I honestly thought it was kind of funny because I rationalized that the little girl was told the same thing. Anyways, after 5, maybe 10 minutes, he let us out and told us to go back to our benches. Again, I don't remember anything after this, it's kind of just a blank. I remember when I got home that night from camp telling my mom all about it, and I remember she called somebody, and I think the guy got fired or something, because I don't remember ever seeing him around, ever again, and my parents never sent me back. I never really thought about it much growing up, but as the years have gone by, I look back to things that I shrugged off as normal and I see they were anything but that. This may not be the scariest, you know, thing you've ever read, but I do appreciate you sharing it anyway. Just as some background, my grandfather owns a cabin near Lincoln, Montana, that I went to many times as a child and a teenager. It always had a very strange, uneasy feeling about it. There's a large boulder about 12 feet tall with a flat top I would climb. One day, when I was standing on top of it, I felt someone shove me from behind. I fell to the ground and got the wind knocked out of me. My mother was watching the whole thing and asked why I jumped. There was nobody behind me. A few years later, I was staying at the cabin with our 4 friends and 2 of us decided to go to bed early. That's all I remember, but this is what the 2 that stayed outside by the fire said happened. Both of us woke up an hour later in the cabin and started screaming at them to let us out. Apparently, I was pounding on the door and screaming at them to unlock it. They started freaking out as well, because there isn't a lock on that door and they didn't understand what was going on. When they finally opened the door, they found both of us still asleep. Another time, we got there and there was a deer carcass curled up in the fire pit, but that might not even be paranormal. Other small dead animals seem to be a pretty common thing around our cabin. That's about it, really. Haven't been up there for a few years as I live in a different part of the country now. I don't know if this is a particularly interesting story, but I figured I'd share my experience anyway, maybe hoping somebody could explain some of the stuff that I saw there. Hello everyone, this will be short, but this just happened, and I'm pretty freaked out. Just to add some context so this makes more sense, I live in a beautiful log cabin in the middle of the woods. We only own about 6 acres, but the entire surrounding properties are all just woods for miles. I've got 4 dogs here now, and taking them on a leash all the time was getting hectic. So I built a small fenced-in area on the side of my house that's attached to a screen room off of my kitchen. So, from my kitchen, you can look outside across the dining room table and see the fenced-in area right next to my house. Well, some of the dogs are a bit anxious to begin the day and won't go potty without someone standing out there with them. Otherwise, they just stay by the sliding door waiting to come back in. So tonight, I'm taking the dogs out to use the bathroom. I'm standing in the middle of this fenced-in area and look inside and see a grown man sitting at my kitchen table, facing these windows with his head in his hands. He had gray hair, looked about to be 50 years old or so, and was wearing a blue and gray plaid flannel. I live alone and I'm 100% sure no one else was in the house. Besides, I live probably 20 minutes from the nearest gas station. It would be close to impossible for anyone to have even found their way to my house if they even wanted to. As I looked at this man, all of my dogs started barking and freaking out, so I snapped my attention back to them, and when I looked back inside, the man was gone. When we all came back in, the chair was pulled out, but no footprints on the rug. It's plushy, so you can definitely tell when someone has walked on it. I checked my house up and down. Nobody else is here, and all of my doors are still locked. Needless to say, I am freaked the heck out. I've never seen him before in my life, and never anyone out here who looks even remotely like he does. I know everyone is going to ask about my mental health, and I've been to a few therapists in my time due to some other unrelated circumstances, and I am 100% sound of mind. I just found this odd, since I've never had any other kind of weird occurrences here. I've had that odd feeling that I'm being watched every now and then, and my unfinished basement is just creepy as hell, but I just try to write it off and not get freaked out. This house was built in 1993, so it's a fairly newer house. I'm the third owner, and as far as I'm aware, there haven't been any deaths in the house since it was built. Now I'm terrified to be in this house, and I don't even know what to do. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Thanks for listening to these creepy Cabin in the Woods stories sent in by viewers just like you. Honestly, if I were out walking my dogs and I saw some stranger in my house, I would definitely put it up for sale. Especially if that stranger was a disappearing ghost like this guy had. Like, yikes. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not subscribe and join us? Be sure to hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, in all things natural and supernatural. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller Scary Stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about every other major podcast platform out there. I am currently running a giveaway, giving away $50 Amazon gift cards. Last winner was Ceres Death. Again, congratulations to you and thank you so much for supporting the Swamp. All you have to do to enter to win a $50 Amazon gift card is 1. Subscribe to my second channel. You can find the link to do so in the top of the description. 2. Like this video and comment down below your favorite scary movie of all time. I will be picking another winner on the next video. Thank you guys as always for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I appreciate it a ton. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.